Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, part of EP and the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with, once again, Mr. Robert Berry of the Robert Berry Gallery, a premier New York City-based virtual art gallery presenting Perfection and Imperfection, One Vision in Parallel Lives. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Robert Berry, as well as photographers Paul Mondesir and David Matheson, whose new show emphasizes themes of reflection, contemplation, and the meaning of perfection. And gentlemen, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Hi, thank you so much for having us, Eric. It's a pleasure to be back.
Yeah, definitely a pleasure on my end.
Nice to meet you, Eric.
Yes, sir. Robert, great to have you back, and also nice to meet the both of you, Mr. Mondesir and Mr. Matheson. So now, from what I understand, the Robert Berry Gallery is currently featuring vibrant works by photographers Paul Mondesir and David Matheson, who are on the show with us, as mentioned. If you don't mind, could we have them introduce themselves to kick things off here today, Mr. Berry?
Absolutely. As founder of Robert Berry Gallery, I believe that great art can change your life for the better, and that everyone should have art in their lives that make them happy. My passion for art started when I was visiting the Metropolitan Museum as a child, and now after leading some of the most cutting-edge art galleries in New York City for 15 years, I created my own virtual gallery to exhibit and work with artists that I personally believe in. I want to tell their stories and have more control of the artistic vision. So this vision now for Robert Berry Gallery is to find the best artists in their respective mediums, and I want to find the right collector for every work that my artists create. The current show, Perfection and Imperfection, features two incredible photographers, Paul and David.
Yeah, thanks so much, Eric. This is Dave, and I realize today I'm a part-time photographer and full-time ATM user. I think they might be related. I live in Long Beach, New York with my invisible dog, Pismo. And in my day job, I'm a CEO of the CDO Club, which is the world's largest community of chief digital, data, and analytics officers. And I'm also board director at the Pace University Lubin School of Business, their transformative leadership program. It's great to be with you today, Eric.
And I'm Paul Mondesir. I am a consultant. I work in the micro-mobility sector, which is e-scooters, e-bikes, that kind of thing. I also have been spending most of the past 15 years doing nonprofit development, which is fundraising and communications work. My passion for photography stems back to when I was a kid, which is a long time ago now. First camera was a Canon rangefinder that my dad brought back from Korea, may he rest in peace, and I love taking pictures of things that are a little bit unusual to the layperson's eye. And this show has been a wonderful opportunity. So I'm really happy to be able to speak with you.
I am as well, and really appreciate the three of you joining us here today. Certainly have already whet the appetite of the listening audience if you've gotten my appetite ready to hear more. Now, tell us more about the current show at Robert Berry Gallery, Perfection and Imperfection, One Vision in Parallel Lives. Get into some of the highlights there.
Well, I'm going to jump in here because the concept actually is one that Dave and I came up with together. It's interesting for me. Dave and I have sort of a similar eye, and we can talk about that a little bit later on. But the concept of perfection, both of us like to take pictures of reflections of sometimes it's shadows, sometimes it's different either buildings or people reflected in water. But the key element to it is that you have to look at it to process it for a moment before you can really figure out what is happening. And in certain cases, by turning the image upside down, it changes your perspective, and you really have to like look at it and say, oh, wait, what am I looking at? And the notion, so that the perfection is literally a term I came up with myself because I would see these things and it's like a perfect reflection. I mean, and so that was one element of it. And the imperfection part came from just the concept of wanting to be able to expand outward and not only have these reflections, but also other images that basically just moved either myself or David. And certainly Dave can chime in there.
Yep, thank you, Paul. And it was great when you approached me with this concept because both of us had been taking photos of similar things. We have a similar eye. And as Paul, I think, was rightly alluding to, you know, our current world is upside down, right? And I think it's not just the last 4 years, you know, certainly not just limited to the United States. There are fringe elements that are becoming center, for example. For other examples, you know, the pandemic, civil unrest, and then, of course, wildfires out of control, you know, flooding, historic natural catastrophes of historic proportions. The world is upside down. And I think Paul and I, without knowing it consciously, our photos started to reflect that. And I don't think you should conflate all of the above with any one thing. There were a lot of things sort of leading up to this sort of perception that even when you're looking at a familiar place in the world, it could be right outside your window. Well, now there's nobody out there when there used to be children playing and hugging. The world that seems familiar is actually quite foreign, and there is no normal. And, you know, as we're starting to see UFOs, apparently there is no right side up in outer space. So, you know, I think Paul and I have a similar vision and also a quirky notion that maybe it'd be fun to see people turning their phones upside down to try to make sense of our photos, a sort of physical activism, if you will, while they're sitting at home. But certainly I think, you know, the current times call for interesting, they lead to interesting perspectives, and we're just trying to do our best to try and capture that despite the world being upside down.
Yeah, mentioning the world being upside down, that is an understatement. This is probably one of the most traumatic times that the whole world has experienced altogether in history, and really appreciate what you're doing to kind of shift that a little bit for the folks. And so, just, I'm curious, how long have you known each other, and why did you decide to team up artistically?
Well, this is what's interesting. Dave and I actually know each other. We're both very serious Frisbee players, which I know for some folks that is an oxymoron, but it is true. Dave was a championship-level ultimate Frisbee player back in the day, and myself, I've been dedicated to something called freestyle Frisbee for most of the past 30 years. Freestylers, if you see people doing tricks with the Frisbee, especially in New York, but pretty much anywhere around the world, if you say you know Tall Paul, they're a friend of mine, pretty much. So anyway, Dave and I know each other for a really long time. We reconnected via Facebook, and I noticed that a lot of his pictures were images that if I had been there, I would have taken. And after about, I guess it was about the third or fourth time that happened, there was one picture that he took that was so close to one that I took myself, different places, but it was really the same composition, that I went and found the picture. I sent it to him. I said, "Dave, listen, man, I don't know how this works out, but we have the same eye." I said, "We got to do something." And so we started to talk. I went out to visit him out of this place in Long Beach, Long Island. And we said, you know, maybe at some point we should do some work together. And the funny thing is that we were originally talking about doing a little show where I would get the lounge in my building and he would get a space in his building and just, you know, do a couple of prints and just do a little something local, maybe invite some friends. Then the pandemic hit. And, well, that kind of you're talking about the world turning upside down. I mean, that happened to all of us. And in wanting to figure out what I could possibly do or what we could possibly do, I reached out to Robert Berry. And Robert said, "Well, listen, I just started this virtual gallery," and we started conversation. And, well, lucky and blessed to say that we are here now. And excuse me for being so long-winded, but that's how we wound up together.
Well, I guess, Paul, you and I go back for about, 12 or 13 years now? And we met when we were both at different organizations back then. And once we realized that I have a gallery and you and David had some amazing photographs, it just seemed like a match made in heaven.
Indeed, from my perspective.
Well, you certainly got to love it, and I really appreciate the background on what led you together, and certainly can appreciate the fact of where you're at today. Of course, we're joined by Mr. Robert Berry of the Robert Berry Gallery, as well as photographers Paul Mondesir and David Matheson, whose new show emphasizes themes of reflection, contemplation, and the meaning of perfection, and they've joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, the big question for you is, I'm sure the listeners would support me in this, what is your inspiration and how do you know when you've got the shot? Tell us about that.
This is Dave. I tell you, I would have to say it's like dancing with the ephemeral gleam. You know, it's constantly out of reach. Isn't that our aspiration, you know, to get that shot? And I can tell you, you know, look, I spent a couple of winters in Sydney, Australia, New York winters over there in the summer. And I would go there every full moon. I'd go the night before, the night of, and the night after. And I would capture it every time. And you think you got the shot. And next time you go there, the cloud's a little bit different. It's coming up a little bit later. Maybe there was some rain. You know, there's a ferry going out in front of it. Every single time. I sit on top of a boardwalk here in Long Beach. I get shots of this boardwalk morning, noon, and night. I could say it's the perfect shot in the morning, and then the afternoon night will change. I'll be out there again. You know, I'll put on a macro instead of a long lens. You know, just trying everything to get that shot. And, you know, I could take hundreds, thousands of pictures of the same boardwalk from the same window. Every one of them is different. So I don't know. You know, I think every time I think I've got it, it just dances out of my hand. But maybe that's the magic.
Dave and I are a little bit different in this. I do a lot of bike riding. I'm a very serious bike rider, and I ride all over New York City, and I will see things, and sometimes I will take the time to do a real serious composition the way David just described. I was able to get some pictures of the Statue of Liberty that I can say that I composed, that I knew that the sun was going to be in a particular place, and I worked very, very hard for the composition. But most of the time, it's that I'm going by someplace and I see something and it catches my eye and I'm like, okay, that's it. And I don't take a whole lot of time. I told Dave, and this was actually an issue for us to an extent. I shoot a lot with my cell phone camera now because I always have it on me. And so kind of the bottom line is that I find myself inspired by the moment. I will see things that catch my eye, and it's like, okay, there it is. I never go around with a tripod, which, you know, yes, absolutely, I can and should in certain instances. But I'm a person that this is much more being reactive. I see things. I'm like, okay, I have to capture that image, and that's really the essence of it. And most of my pictures are like that. It's a moment in time. A real quick one is the butterfly picture that is a part of the gallery. It's two monarch butterflies sitting on a flower, and I had never seen two butterflies on the same flower so close together. I was able to like snap that shot, and there it was. So, and that's kind of the way I work. I guess too, it's almost like the difference between classical and jazz. You know, David's a little bit more classical, and I'm a little bit more jazz, but it's still beautiful music.
That butterfly photo looks like a reflection. It looks like it's a mirror. They look so identical. Yet there are two of them on a flower.
Very, very well described and artistically described. I can't thank you enough. That's pretty sweet stuff right there. Tell us, what is your favorite work in the show, and how can people find your work?
You know, Paul and I went through the very difficult process of getting our photos down to just, you know, a dozen that we could include in Robert's show. And it was not easy. And then towards the end, we selected each other's photos. He gave me his choices. I gave him mine. And he chose. And I have to say, I think one of his best works is one called The Interview, where it's a shot of Paul with a cracked mirror and a reflection of the city behind him, a kind of a melancholy feel to it. I really appreciate that. But of course, others will, you know, really delight in like the Defiant Girl, where he has the statue of the girl, as it's called, That's My Girl, at Wall Street facing down the bull. In Wall Street. So, those are some of my favorites from my own show or my selections. I actually like the black and white shot that I took in Amsterdam. If your viewers can imagine in their minds just the rows and rows of bicycles. Bicycles as far as the eye can see, and not just one level, but like layers and layers, like a car park, but filled with bicycles. And in this black and white sea, there's this one poor soul in the middle of the photo trying to find his bicycle, and I sort of isolated the red on him. He had a red hoodie on, and so the title of that one is Where's My Bike? But it's just simple black and white with this poor kid lost in a black and white soup of bicycles in Amsterdam. Was probably my favorite.
And on my end, it's kind of a toss-up. The one that just leaps out at me is a picture of my hometown. It's the Empire State Building, and it's moon balloons. That one jumped out at me because when I first looked at it, it took me a moment to figure out all of the elements, because there's balloons. I couldn't quite figure out, you know, were they really large balloons far away? Were they close? I had to look at it like for a good 10 seconds before my eyes were able to decipher exactly what was what. And that just, it blew me away. The other one that really knocks me out amongst Dave's work is Down Under, because it is such a perfect perfection that it, again, took me a moment to decipher exactly, okay, which way is up? And that made me very happy. Amongst my own work, I have to say, The Defiant Girl, what I say, That's My Girl, I like that one because I've seen 1,000 pictures of the bull and the girl, but I had never seen anyone use a wide-angle lens so that the girl was prominent and the bull was a little bit smaller, and you could see the power. I mean, that it, for me, was like I could see the power of her stance, and it just moved me. It just moved me in a profound way. And since I mentioned the butterflies before, that one is another favorite for the same reason I said before. I'd never seen anything quite like that, and to be able to capture that moment in time in a picture, I know that that's a singular. I'm not going to take that picture again. I can't compose that, you know, in a million years unless, like, you know. Actually, I could not compose that again, because that was a moment in time that was utterly unique. And that right there is the essence of my love of photography, is capturing that moment that you can never repeat.
Well, I'd like to say I agree with both of your choices. There's numerous wonderful photographs depending on where someone's looking. There's multiple sizes, themes, and colors. But I would say the work that I have on my wall would be David's Moon Balloons, which is the view of the Empire State Building from Bryant Park, with the balloons caught just right in a perfect composition. And definitely The Girl with the Bull, entitled That's My Girl, because it's just a subtle use of color, a perfect composition, and more importantly, it is defiant, and the girl really does dominate over the bull, and it shows the power of how art can change the world.
And I'd say that today you have all verbally painted a beautiful picture here today in your description of your work and in the industry that you're in, and really do appreciate your joining us here today. And of course, we'd like to know where we can get more information in all regards online. Where's the best place to do so?
I just want to say, to wrap up, Eric, thank you again so much for having us all on the show. It's always a pleasure. And for everyone listening, you can visit robertberrygallery.com. and see Paul and David's incredible photographs that just might be right for your art collection. And if for anyone listening who's interested in collecting contemporary art, please reach out. I've always loved to have conversations.
Gentlemen, keep doing what you're doing. And again, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Eric.
You so much for having us. Definitely a pleasure.
Anytime, and thanks so much for joining us. Again, we've been speaking with Robert Berry of the Robert Berry Gallery, a premier New York City-based virtual art gallery, presenting Perfection and Imperfection, One Vision in Parallel Lives, as well as photographers Mr. Paul Mondesir and Mr. David Matheson, whose new show emphasizes themes of reflection, contemplation, and the meaning of perfection. And for further details, simply visit robertberrygallery.com. EnterpriseRadio.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.